All right, we're going to cover a little bit today. This week has been an interesting week, to say the least. I've been reading through the scriptures just from cover to cover. It's just kind of what I do every year. And every now and then I find myself kind of getting stuck in certain books. Regardless of how many times I've read through the Bible, there's certain things, depending on what season you're in, will speak louder. Y'all left me by myself. There are certain passages that will speak louder depending on where you are in life. And we're gonna glance at this passage for just a hot little minute. And then we're gonna look at our passage that we're gonna really stay with the rest of the service. So right now, Job chapter 42. And we're gonna look at verses 1-6. And our main passage for today will come from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7-10. Over the past few weeks, we've been in this series, Waiting on God, which is not always an easy thing to do. We've heard that we ought to wait on God, and as I said in week one, no one ever really said how to wait on God. But I'm learning as I continue to grow wiser over these years, it is learning to endure the seasons that we're facing. The temptation is that when we are in these kind of waiting seasons that we want to kind of hurry up. And again, I want to reference that song. You know, we spend our time watching the minute hand more than we watch God. We watch for our circumstances to change more than we're watching God. And waiting on God doesn't mean get your hands busy and doing a whole lot of stuff to try to get yourself out of that. But waiting on God simply means let me lean in and lean on God and press into Him. Amen?
Amen.
And so today we're going to talk from this idea of when God seems uncooperative. Y'all left me by myself on that one. When God seems uncooperative. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for just being God and God alone. Thank you for being with us in the seasons of waiting, encouraging us, edifying us, strengthening us, Lord. And I pray that in this time of waiting, Lord, that we will be sensitive to your voice even more. But not only that, God, that we will be obedient to your voice. So, Father, I pray for each and every one of us who have faced hardships and difficulties over these past few months. I pray, Lord, that we would understand it clearer, God, even before the situation turned around, Lord. God, would you make it clear even now? And, God, we will say to you be all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Just a reminder, if you have a Bible app, copy of the sermon notes is actually already there, so that way you can just kind of follow along. Let me give you a quote by Jim Simler, which is a very powerful pastor who really emphasizes prayer. His ministry is really founded on this idea of a church that prays together, stays together. What was so impressive is that Brooklyn Tabernacle on their Tuesday nights averaged somewhere between 700 to 1,000 people coming out for prayer. We're not talking about a prayer service, and we're not talking about praise service. We're not talking about a traditional worship service where there's going to be preaching. They just come in to pray. And they've had many testimonies of people's lives being completely changed because the church pressed in to God in prayer. I want to say this again, that as a church, we want to be known not by our programs, but our prayer life. Hello, lights and walls. And so this is what he says. He says, trouble is one of God's greatest servants because it reminds us how much we continually need the Lord. I'm going to say that one more time. Trouble is one of God's greatest servants because it reminds us how much we continually need the Lord. And I don't know about you, but it's amazing how a little trouble will come in your life. How much you realize how much you really need the Lord. Because the temptation for many of us is to try to do it ourselves, to try to figure out life on our own. And we think we got it. We think we've acquired enough experience. We've been saved for 30 years. I know how to get out of this situation, Lord. But it never fails that God knows how to put the right amount of circumstances in your life to remove this sense of security in self. Y'all left me by myself. I remember even believing this whole hype about myself. God, there's really not a whole lot I haven't been through. I've been through enough already. And the Lord said, really? Hang on in there a little while. I'll show you something. And every time I said, okay, I'm sorry, Jesus. I'm sorry. Because the Lord knows every recipe for our life to bring us to our knees. I don't care how much you can speak in tongues. I don't care how much you come to prayer service. God knows how to bring some stuff in your life that will make you bow down to Him. And I want to point our attention to a brother by the name of Job, who was a very faithful brother, godly man. Matter of fact, God even bragged on him. He's a high dude. And then God allowed circumstances to come into his life to trouble the waters. It's amazing how you feel like you're doing the best you can. You're living life, you're being faithful, and then all of a sudden God just starts to trouble the water. And you want to respond back to God. God, have I not been a tither? Have I not been showing up to Sunday service every week? Prayer service? And now this, Lord? I don't deserve this, if we're being honest. Okay, got quiet right there. If we're being honest, we look back at the Lord and say, no, I don't deserve this because I've been faithful. But God understands how to perfect us. And so as he's going through all these different things, Job is having all these voices speak to him. He's having his wife say something. And you know, hey, Job, you just curse God and die. He's having his homeboys holler at him, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. They got something to say. Ain't it amazing how when you're going through hard times, how everybody got something to say about your situation? Y'all left me by myself. And it's usually the wrong thing to say. You lose a loved one, maybe it's their time. What? How do you know that? I mean, come on now. Okay, y'all gonna be like that today. So he had got all these voices speaking to him. And then in chapters 38 through 41, now God speaks. And it's amazing what would happen when you begin to turn down the volume of all the other voices and begin to tune in to God. And as he's talking with God, God is describing who he is and what he has done and all these kinds of things. And finally, Job looks up at God and looks back at himself. He said, you know what, God? I'm just going to shut up. I'm going to let you talk, God. And maybe that's a word for somebody right now. Maybe you just need to shut up. Oh, I got quiet right there. Because we may be doing way too much talking and not enough listening. But I want us to zoom in at chapter 42, and I want you to pay very close attention to this revelation that Job gives. And it's amazing that God gives this revelation at this time. I want you to pay attention to this. Verse 1, he says, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours, watch this, can be thwarted. So he is affirming that there is nothing, God, that will happen in this life or to me that will ever affect what you're going to accomplish through me. Okay. And maybe we need to be reminded of that very truth. That whatever we face in this life, it would not unhinge God's plan for your life. Even though it will try to tell you differently. Verse 3, watch what he says. Who is he that hides counsel without knowledge? And I love this portion here. He says, therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand. Things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. So he's admitting, God, I've been doing a lot of talking about things I have no idea about. Okay? I don't know if you've been like that, that sometimes you just get to talking about certain situations and it's beyond your comprehension. I remember one author says this. He says this. He says, God is incomprehensible but knowable at the same time. God is so big that our minds really can't perceive all of God, but yet he is still personable enough for us to come to him and talk to him. But there are some things in our life that's just beyond our comprehension that God is using to perfect everything concerning us. Our job is to not criticize God for allowing it to come into our life, but begin to thank God for what he is doing in our life. Because the temptation is, God, I don't understand it. God, take it away from me. Ease the pain. But God said, just wait. I'm doing something in you more than I'm doing something for you. And he's having this revelation. God, there's things too wonderful that I did not know. And he says, hear and I will speak. I will question you and you will make it known to me. So he says, it's okay to ask questions to God and he will make it clear to you. And verse 5, bless my souls to my toes.
All right.
Verse 5, he says, I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Oh my God. Okay, here's what God revealed in that moment right there. There are many times we've heard testimonies of what God has done for other people. And Job said, I've heard what you've done for other people, but now I can see for myself what you're able to do. It's one thing to hear God do something in somebody else's life, but it's another thing to have seen and experienced God for yourself. Mama's testimony won't be enough for you to be satisfied. When God gets a hold of you, he will show you some things about himself that's just for you. Ooh, that blessed my soul. Because it's not enough to just hear about God. It's a totally different thing when you have seen him and experienced him for yourself. And I wish I had two witnesses that say, I've seen him for myself. Okay, y'all leave me by myself. I've experienced him for myself. I'm not relying on everybody else's testimony. Then verse 6, then we'll move on. He says this, therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. Now watch what happens. He's suggesting, he says, I haven't sinned. The only thing I need to repent for right now is the fact that I've been ignorant. God, you have been good to me. You've done some great things. I realize I have been ignorant in how I've been living and behaving, and I repent. And I love how he realizes this not after his situation turned around. Okay, y'all going. He didn't wait for the situation to turn around to have this revelation. He was in the midst of his situation while he's having this revelation. And maybe, and just maybe, we need to be asking God, God, what is it that you're trying to show me in this situation before I get out of it? Nobody want to pray that prayer. Nobody want to pray that prayer. Because there are just some things that God can only reveal in the situation. Tell your neighbor, stay right there. No, say it like you mean it. Tell them, stay right there. God got something for you right there. So in this message today, it's going to get a little challenging because we've always been taught that we can ask anything of the Lord and he will answer just like that. Like Jesus, like a vending machine. I mean, that's how we treat Jesus, and we feel as though that we don't deserve these waiting seasons. I mean, but what do you do when you're praying for something specific, and God just doesn't seem to want to cooperate with your will? Hello, lights and moms. You're praying a specific prayer. God, I need you to move in this specific way, and God doesn't seem to be agreeing with your will. But I remember Jesus saying, it's not my will be done, but it's thy will be done. That's what the Bible says. But many of our prayers is, God, my will be done more than thy will be done. And maybe God's will is for you to stay right there. Woo! Jot this little quote down from A.W. Tozer. He wrote this in The Pursuit of God. Because when we are faced with these hard times, the best thing we can ever do is to just pursue God more. I want y'all to hear me. If we're faced with hard times and difficulties, the best thing you can do right now is pursue God more. A.W. Tozer says this. He says, we pursue God because and only because he has put an urge within us that spurs us to pursue him. I'm going to say that one more time. We pursue God, in so many words, because he put the desire in me to pursue him. And if you're facing difficulties right now and your natural inclination is not to pursue God, you might need to check your Jesus meter. Because I'm learning that when I'm facing hard times, I chase God harder in the hard times than I do in the good times. Y'all left me by myself. When it's easy street, then my prayers are easy. Good to see you again, Jesus. Hey, see you next week. Boom, same time. But oh, when some hard times come, I know how to get down. Oh, Jesus. Because at that moment, it ain't time to be playing. At that moment, the pain is real. It ain't time to just have those pretty prayers. It is time to press into his presence. And I learned that as you press into God's presence, God will also expose you for who you really are. I'll get quiet right there. It would take off the blinders of what we feel about ourselves and what we think about ourselves when we press into his presence. He goes on to say this. He says, and that is the paradox of our faith. He says, to have God and still pursue God is crazy. But that's exactly how he wired us. Think about it like this. So I started dating my wife in 98. We met in high school. I pursued her. And I, for 7 years, left me by myself. So in 98, I pursued, and I even tried to call myself proposing. She said, what are you playing? And keep moving. And so, okay. For 7 years. And then after, thank you. Because it was. It was completed. But the pursuit doesn't stop now that I have her. So for another 14 years, all I've been doing is chasing her. So let's look at the numbers. For 7 years, I'm chasing her to make her mine. I got her now. You ain't going nowhere now. Made me chase you for 7 years. I ain't say that in a proposal. No, no. Don't tell I said that. And now I got her, I says, I got you. And now we've been holding it down for 14 years. For 21 years, I was chasing and I'm still chasing. And what God is saying, yes, you have me, but I still need you to keep chasing after me. Because there's still so much more I need to show you. But if you stop the pursuit, you're going to miss something. And I remember, and I can't remember which one of our anniversaries we were celebrating, and we were facing a decision. We had to make a decision, and we were praying together, and we were looking like, I'm going to do this. And we've had challenges with communication. Watch this. We had challenges with communication, but in this moment, we begin to celebrate because we made a decision together. Okay, maybe y'all don't understand how marriage works. Not all the time you come to an agreement on any situation. But we were standing in front of this person and we were high-fiving each other and chest bump and all that. And the guy was like, what is going on? Even though we turned him down.
We turned him down, but we were celebrating like we didn't win the Super Bowl. It was because we realized that we know how to communicate. So over time, God shows you different things about the relationship that you will be blessed by. But you got to pursue God. Tell your neighbor, pursue God.
Pursue
God. No, say it like you mean it. Pursue God.
Pursue God.
And when we pursue God, it is simple to say to God, I want less of me and more of thee. When we pursue God, I'm saying, God, I need more of you and less of myself. And that only happens in our prayer life. So Paul reveals three things about prayer when we turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to pick up at verse 7. He shows us there are three things that when you're facing painful moments in life that you need to understand about prayer. The first thing you need to know about prayer is that true prayer isn't about getting our way, but surrendering our will. I'm going to say that one more time. True prayer isn't about getting our way, but surrendering our will. Now, many of us know about the Apostle Paul, who started out as Saul, who was an antagonist, really, for the early church. He was persecuting them, giving them a hard time, giving them the business. But God saved him, because that's what God does. God's in the business of saving those who seem to be less likely to be saved. He comes into his life, wrecks his world, and then he is now hated on by Christians, because remember, he had persecuted them. And they were suspect of him anyway. He wrote 13 books of the New Testament. 13 books. Let's break this down. He wrote 32,408 words. He had visions. Raised people from the dead, especially the dude named Eutychus. He rebuked demons. Healed dead folks. And the list goes on and on and on. He brought the gospel to Europe. He started 14 churches in 3 missionary journeys. He also raised up leaders and sent them. He paid the price. He was imprisoned. He was shipwrecked. 5 times was he beat down with a whip, bitten by a snake, beaten by rods, stoned, left for dead or mostly dead. If anybody deserves their prayers answered, I think Paul fits the bill. If he put his resume up against any of us who's praying to God, he says, wait a minute, God, now look, this situation right here, I don't think I deserve this. Let's look at my resume. And that's what we like to do. Look at my resume, Jesus. And I've been faithful. And I've been good. And I've been kind. And yet he finds himself in this desperate situation. Let's look at verse 7. Look what he says. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelation, because again, Paul was also getting these revelations early in this chapter. He says, watch this. A thorn was given me in the flesh. Underline this part so y'all won't miss this. A messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. So this idea, and I know when we think of thorn, we think of those little small little thorns that we see on the rose bush. In the Greek, this idea that Paul is referencing is not those little smaller thorns. He's referencing really a stake.
Yeah.
He said, I feel like there's a stake on the inside of my flesh that's causing pain in my life. It doesn't specify what his situation is. It doesn't say if it's physical, spiritual, if he's having hunger pain. It doesn't matter. It just means that he was facing a situation that was causing great pain in his life. Has anybody ever been there? You can't even put words to what you're facing right now, but all I know is that it's a stake in my side that's causing great pain in my life, and God, I need you to do something about this situation right now. That's when you had that right now prayer. God, move right now. Move right now. And he began to describe how bad the situation was. That's when you're supposed to say, how bad was it?
How bad.
Okay, y'all missed it. Let's try this again, okay? He began to describe how bad the situation was. He said it was so bad. It was so bad. It was so bad that he said that it felt like it was a messenger straight up from the devil. He said that's how bad it was. It's not a light affliction like a headache. He said, no. This situation seemed like it came straight from hell. And he says, and it was a messenger, he says, meant to cause me pain. Somebody say it's prayer time. That when we're facing that kind of pain, that's when we press in the more. Because notice what happens. He begins to pray to God. He prayed. That was his natural. Okay, maybe, let me stop right there. And let that be your first response. When you are experiencing pain, pray. Many of us complain first, then pray later. Okay, y'all left me by myself. And let me say this. In a prayer, when you say, oh Lord, that ain't a prayer. When you're facing a situation, when you just say, oh Lord, no, you need to have a conversation with God. Many times I explain to people, when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, it's not just so that we can get to heaven. That is not the objective. When we give our life to Jesus Christ, we get Him. And if we get Him, that means we can go to Him at any time. Okay, all right, okay. Jeff Simler also says this. He says, many of us are content with just standing outside the holies of holies and praying to God. He says, when Jesus died, He ripped the veil so that we might be able to enter into His presence with boldness. So why would we be content with just standing on the outside without really desiring to go into His presence? When we are experiencing pain, why don't you start desiring to get into His presence? And it's not enough just to stand out there and say, okay, Jesus. But now you got to enter in. Tell your neighbor, enter in. Amen. The second thing, prayer reminds us that we're not in control. And keeps us close to the one who is. If I was in the South, I'd say it like this. Prayer reminds us that we ain't in control. And keeps us close to the one who is. So Peep Game, look at verse 8. Peep Game on what he says. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. All right, so let's stop right there. The temptation, we've been taught this, and I've been taught this many times over, that our prayer should be, pray to God, leave with Him, don't pick it up again. Haven't been told that at least once or twice. Pray it, leave it, move on. Paul says, wait a minute. This situation, it ain't a one prayer situation. Oh my gosh. And God, I need to have a conversation with you more than one time about this. So the Bible says, I went to Him one time, two times, three times. Okay, if you don't think this is biblical, write down Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14, verses 39 through 41. And this is also Jesus praying not one time, not two times, but three times. Because there are certain situations that we will face in life that requires more prayer. And I'm sure, you know, if I was Paul, I'm sure I would have came to, okay, all right, here's the situation. Okay, I got to stay. Okay, all right, I got it. Because I got my prayer already prepared, but I'm going to say to the Lord, okay, all right. Dear Jesus, fix my situation. Thorn in my flesh. Amen. Okay, my situation ain't changed. Okay, maybe you just didn't hear me right, Jesus. Okay, let me remix it a little bit. Okay, let me. All right, Jesus, I know You're real. You're able to do all things. Got a thorn in my flesh. I prayed last week, you know, situation's still here. I know You can handle it. Amen. In Your name, amen. You up there, Jesus? Don't act like You ain't been there. You up there, Jesus? I prayed 3 weeks ago. Thorn in my flesh is hurting. I need you to move right now. Right now, Jesus. Notice the intensity of the prayer. It moved from, I'm cool, yeah, just move. All right. Second, okay, I came before, come again, you know. But the third one was a little more intense. There is power in repetitive prayer. It is not to say that God didn't hear you. It is an expression of trust in God to do something about the situation. Okay. So in the Hebrew, whenever they repeat something three times, that was a sign of intensity. So when you hear God, when you hear Scripture says, holy, 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 it is to say that God is holy above all circumstances. There is nothing other than God that is reserved for. So when he prays three times, it's to say, God, you are the only one that can do something about my situation. And so he prays it over and over again. So let me tell you, don't be afraid to pray something over again. Y'all left me by myself. If it's that serious, if it's that desperate, you talk to Jesus about it. If it means more than one time. Is he deaf? No. He can hear you. And watch what God says back to him. After him praying three times. Watch what he says. Look at verse 9, just the 8th part. He says, but God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. He didn't heal the situation. He didn't change the situation. He didn't fix the situation. He didn't ease the pain. If anything, it was almost like God saying, no, I'm not going to cooperate with this prayer. But what I will show with you, I will share with you that my grace is sufficient. All right, y'all left me by myself. Grace is just not what God uses as a tool to save us. But it's also God's way of sustaining us. Paul also said this. He says that God's grace is able to abound towards us so that we'll be all sufficient in all areas, at all times, abounding in every good work. That's what his word says. And so if God's grace is in our life, that means his grace is able to sustain us in this life. His grace is complete, is sufficient, it is more than enough. So even though we pray this, this is what I need, God says back to us, no, I'm what you need. Y'all left me by myself. Because our prayers are often, God, this is what I need. And God said, no, baby, I'm what you need. I want you to encourage your neighbor and say, no, Jesus is what you need.
Jesus.
I know the need is great, but having Jesus is greater. The third thing that we'll raise up on out of here. Prayer isn't just asking. Because that's what many of us do. Ask, ask, ask. We bring in our list. And we bring out our list and we put that before the Lord. And we want him to answer every one of those in the chronological order, the way we written it down. Prayer isn't just asking, but it's trusting. Paul looks back at his thorn situation. And this is what he realizes. That it was actually a good thing. I know what you're saying. I don't want to hear that right now. I want to hear my thorn being a good thing. Paul realizes that this thorn was indeed a good thing. Here's what he says. Let's read the rest of verse 9. He says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ, watch this, may rest upon me. Okay, y'all missed that. That was a shout moment right there. He says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses or my suffering or my hard time or my tribulation so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities.
For when I am weak, then I am strong. He is saying that there's only one strength that shows up in times of weakness, and it is the Lord's strength. My strength will fail, I promise you. But when God shows up, his strength is everlasting. And he says, and you only realize that when you're facing the hardest moments of your life. He says, and so I will glory in my tribulation, because now the power of God is resting on my life. And this idea of resting is like placing or sitting on you. Oh my God. He is saying that God's power will rest on you when you're having hard times. And it will be evident that God is on you when you're going through those hard times. It's amazing how some people, they go through hard times, they wear that. Hello, lights and walls. Let's try that one more time. And when some people go through hard times, they wear the hard times on their face. Because they're looking for, is everything okay? Y'all get too safe over now. But there are some people who just wear the power of God on their life. So it does not matter what they're facing in this life. They're walking in his power and his authority. And it doesn't look like they're being faced by anything. Why? Because of the power of Christ. It's resting on them. Thank you, Holy Ghost. It's not to say they're being fake. I'm not saying be fake. Don't be wrong. Now, when you really have got Christ on the inside of you, you walk in that authority and that power. So whatever you're walking in, you start declaring over everything that he reigns over all things. And so, I have hard times, yes, but it won't be the end of me. So what God tells him, he says, my grace is sufficient for you. It is more than enough for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. It's okay to be in those times of weakness. And what Paul says, he says, you know what? Now that I understand, I'm cool with the pain. What am I saying to you today? Be cool with the pain. God is using the pain to perfect you. God is using the pain to accomplish something in you and through you. It's necessary to go this way. It's necessary to go this way because God is doing something. And I promise you that in those moments, it becomes clearer before the situation turns around. Okay? So I want you to look for the situation to turn around more than you're looking for God. I want to shift the gear right there. Don't look for the situation to turn around more than you look for God to show up. And we need God to show up more and more and more, and God will demonstrate his power resting on us in those moments. Amen? As we close, I remember thinking back over my life, and I look back at my journal and just kind of look back at some stories I was telling. And I remember looking back, I was in the ninth grade, and I remember praying a prayer because I was uncertain whether or not I was going to make it to the 10th grade. I'm serious. I mean, my life is that rough. I mean, I'll tell you that later, but my life is really, no, I'll tell you right now. So when you have parents who are drug addicts and running them streets, they don't just deal with the parents. They deal with the children too. And so there were times we had to duck because of drive-bys. And so I really thought that I wouldn't see 10th grade. And I remember praying, God, you gotta do something about this. If you real, y'all hear me? If you real, you gotta deliver us out of this situation. 10th grade rolled around. I'm still praying, God, you got to get us out of this situation. 11th grade rolls around. God, you got to do something about this situation. You got to turn around. 12th grade rolls around. We're still in this situation. Now we're homeless. Watch this. We're homeless now. We're trying to figure out what we're going to eat and how we're going to live. And yet, God says this woman, watch this. This woman who really didn't even know us. She says, baby, y'all can come stay with us. I got 7 kids. I got 2 bedrooms, but I'll make room for you and your brothers. And one of the things I learned about God, that God will always provide even when you're facing hardships and difficulties. God is uncooperative. It may seem like he's ignoring your prayers, but God said, just hang on in there. I got you. I will perfect you. I will do through you what you can't do for yourself.
Praise the Lord.
Great is his faithfulness. Great is his faithfulness. So don't give up yet. It's not over yet. So if I could tell little Stevie back in the ninth grade a little something, I would just tell him, God will do it. I promise you, God will do it. Yeah, you still see the stuff in front of you, but he still would do it. A witness. But watch this. That God will leave us in there just so that we can have a testimony just like that. God is leaving you in this situation right now so that you can stand up here and testify that it was nobody but Jesus. I thought it was over, but it was Jesus who carried me through. As we bow in prayer, and I don't know what it is that you're facing up against right now, where it may seem as though God is being uncooperative. You're saying, God, I can't see my way out of this. I can't see my way through this. God has said, I just need you to trust me. It is in the time of our greatest pain that there will be its greatest gain. In the time of the greatest pain in your life will be an opportunity for a great gain. And all that God has allowed you to experience in this life, he has used it for his own glory. And at the end of the day, you won't look like what you have been through. Hallelujah. There will not be any residue. There will not be any evidence that you have experienced this hardship. But it will be God's glory and his power resting on your life. So that when people see you, all they will see is the glory of God on your life. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, it is painful. Yes, it is hard. But it's for his glory. So I want you to be encouraged today that the suffering of this time will be for his glory. Thank you, Father.
Thank you,
Lord. Father, we thank you right now for the stories we have heard. God, we thank you for our experiences that we have had. God, as we look back over these experiences, God, we don't regret a thing. But if anything, God, we revel in the fact that, God, you have shown up time and time and time again. God, that regardless of how great the pain is, it does not compare to the weight of glory that will be revealed in each and every one of our lives. So, Father, my prayer for the saints today is that we will simply endure. And God, that we will press into your presence, Lord. As we look at the life of Paul, he learned to pray in the pain. Father, I pray that we will pray in the pain. I pray that we resist the temptation of praying the pain away. But God, that we would understand what it is that you're trying to accomplish in our life. So Father, I stand with my brothers and my sisters who are having hard times. I pray, God, that you would make clear to them, God, what it is that you're trying to reveal about them. Father, I pray that they will be sensitive and receptive, God, to what you have to say. Paul prayed. God answered. God, help us to be okay with your answer. God, whatever you have to say, may it be well with our soul. So, Father, I thank you right now for your power to keep us in every stage of life. As we're still praying, there may be someone here today, you're saying the pain seems to be so great. It's not a thumbtack kind of pain, but it's a stake kind of pain. And I just need the saints to stand with me. Just to stand with me. Just to stand with me. Not to fix my situation, not to change it, but just to stand with me. So I have someone to lean on. And if you're here today, you say, Pastor, I'm facing that pain right now. My heart is heavy. The pain is great. And it's not making sense. I've been faithful. I've been doing all the right things. And yet pain came into my life. I'm praying and it just seems like God is uncooperative. I just need God to speak. If you're here today, would you just stand right where you are? If you're here, you say, Pastor, that's me. I'm facing pain right now. I can't figure out. I can't understand. I'm perplexed. Just need God to speak. And God is saying, I just need you to withstand the pull. Just withstand. God will not put such a burden on you that you cannot handle. And if anything, the trials that you're facing, God says, I trust you to make it through this. We went through the list of things that Paul had done, and now he's faced with something else that was too great for him to understand. And God allowed it because God knew that it wouldn't crush him, but it would cultivate him. Thank you. And God is allowing what you experience to come into your life to cultivate you. Those who are near those who are standing, would you just kind of move close to them and just lean on them and pray with them for just a few moments? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Get some saints up here, too. Get some saints up here. Sometimes we just need to know that there are others with us that we can lean on. Through the season. as Job had the revelation about God before his situation turned around, I pray that they would have a revelation about God before that they turn around. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for those who had stood this morning. I pray, Father, that whatever they're facing, God, that they would turn their face to you. I pray, Lord, that they will lean into your presence, God, like they had never done before. I pray that this state of complacency or being too comfortable, God, that they will have a sense of urgency to meet you face to face, God. I pray, Lord, that they will lay aside anything that's been a distraction. Paul says, I've had many revelations, but that wasn't the point. We may have a lot of accomplishments, but I pray, Father, that they won't rest on their accomplishments, but God, that they will rest on what you have accomplished in their life. Now, Father, our prayer is that they will be strengthened in their faith because of the experience. God, that they would have a testimony about how they not only endured, but God, how you brought them out of it, how you brought resolution to their situation. So, Father, thank you for being the God who's also God enough to be in the valley with them. So strengthen them is our prayer. And God, we'd be so careful, God, to give you the praise for what you're doing in their life. Heads are still bowed. Maybe seated. Thank you. Heads are still bowed. There may be someone here today who have not put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. They've tried everything else. They've done a lot of things. But they just haven't committed themselves to following Jesus. And if you're here, you say, Pastor, I haven't put my faith and trust in Jesus. I've put my faith and trust in a lot of things. But Jesus is not one of them. Or you say, hey, Pastor, I put my trust in Jesus, but I'm backslidden. I've fallen away from Jesus. I don't know how I got here, but I find myself here. And the Lord can not only save, but he can also reclaim everyone that has drifted away from him. And if you're here, you say, Pastor, that's me. I have not trusted Jesus. I've drifted from Jesus, but I want to recommit myself right now. That's you. Would you just raise your hand right where you are? You said, hey, I need to trust Jesus for the first time, or I need to trust him again. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And lastly, you may be here. You said, Pastor, we've been praying. I've been praying, looking for a church family to be a part of. Feel that God has sent me here. God has opened the doors here for me to be a part of what you're doing in this church. And if that's you, would you just raise your hand right where you are? You say, hey, God sent me here to be a part of this church family. Amen. 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 God, we thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
We thank you for your presence. For your power. God, we lean on you. We lean into you. We want more of you and less of ourselves. So, Lord, we thank you for what you're accomplishing in our lives. And God, we give you glory in Jesus' name. And every heart said, amen.
Praise
God. Let's give God a hand clap of praise.